Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin. Make sure y'all like, comment, share, and subscribe to the podcast, because we got some dope interviews. So now let's get into the podcast. They listening to me. Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin, and you tuned in to another episode of Heat Level Podcast. What's up, world? Well, today I got a guest. Man, he does something a little different, something that I ain't never really heard of. But you know what? Now I've heard of it. Now I'm going to bring him on. But his name is Ryan Braves, and he is a personal development trainer or manager. Which one you do that? It's same thing, right? Manager, whatever, of married businessmen. You know, I asked him, did he do business women? He said, you know, and some of the people he know is not married, but he specialized in personal development for married businessmen. So how you doing, Mr. Ryan Braves? Say what's up to the world.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Looking forward to this.
Okay. So let me ask you a few questions now. First and foremost, on this podcast, we ain't got no filter. So, you know, if you got to talk, you got to say what you got to do. You got to say what you got to say, right? Now, first and foremost, what the fuck is personal development for, you know, married businessman? Like, this is like some shit that I've probably never heard of. I know I used to be kind of a male gigolo in the way. I used to like have sex with, know, married women for money because their husband was around. So I guess you are on the other end of that one.
Correct.
And trying We're to make it where they don't do that. Okay. Correct. So explain what you do, brother.
Yeah, man. So a lot of guys, one of the big things they want to do is they want to provide big lives for their families themselves, right? Like acquire things, materials, homes, cars, watches, suits, all that stuff. So they're very, very driven. And in that pursuit, they forget about the people that are closest to them because they're working long hours. They're not paying attention to their wives. They're not being there as fathers for their kids. And then you have two problems. You have an unhappy relationship at home, right? Where eventually your wife feels that, and either she's going to cheat on you or you're going to go cheat on her. And that's going to cost you a shit ton of money, obviously, and legal fees, losing your business and all that stuff. And then you're not going to be there for your kids. And the catastrophic effect that that has down the road is kids that grow up without a father. And I truly believe that's one of the biggest problems in this country today is kids that grow up without fathers, without role models in their life, showing them what to do. So what I do very specifically is help these men not only grow their businesses, but grow their businesses while being the husband and father they're supposed to be.
Okay. Now, where you from?
Yep, New York.
You know, where you grew? You from New York. It's cool. I was in New York in December. I actually stayed in Jersey, and we took Pennsylvania and went on back. Too many damn subways for me. But, you know, I had to go to New York. Well, so you're from New York. Where you grow up in New York? Where? What borough were you in?
So when I was really young, I was in Queens.
Okay, Queens, and then, shout out.
And then I moved to Long Island.
Okay. And what made you want to get into what you're doing? I'm saying, did you grow up without a father?
So, yeah, man. So my childhood and my upbringing was kind of rough. So my mother and father divorced when I was 2 years old. My mother is an alcoholic drug addict, and my father was a semi-pro fighter. And from getting hit in the head a lot, he ended up developing bipolar disorder and manic depressive disorder. And he was in and out of prison a ton of times. So my childhood was very stressful. It was very unstable, right? I mean, not having a mother figure in the house, not having a father figure in the house, the cops were always at my house. So me now being a father, everything I want to do for my kids is the opposite of what I experienced when I was a little kid. And I want to make sure other kids don't have to go through what I went through. I want to make sure other fathers understand how important it is to be there and raise their children so they can have an easier life. That's the name of the game, right? That's why I do what I do, so my family can have a better life than I had.
Okay. Now you're talking to an entrepreneur, right? And a guy that's had a rough life, right? So now, like, for example, my mama died when I was 10. My daddy was in prison, drug deal. You know, I'm one of the black kids that they talk about, right? Gonna end up in prison before you're 25, you know, the mass incarceration of black men type, you know? So I was a part of that statistics, right, growing up. Sure. Now, my household was, like I said, a little different. Five of us, mom, single mom, and then she passed away very early, and it was five of us left. Dad was on drugs and stuff like that. Sure. Me, I was in the streets, ended up going to a lot of institutions and stuff like that. And even now, being out 3.5 years after doing 7 years in prison. So I understand what you're saying about how, you know, you want to be there for your kids. But then I want to play the devil's advocate on this one, because you got to understand what I do. And I have to sacrifice a lot of time. Now, the difference between where I'm at and where people I know, right? Most of these people been out here, right? They've been out here chasing this dream and these goals and trying to get to this, to where they are, more comfortable in life, whatever. I like to use that term because I don't like a comfort zone, but sure, where they're trying to be at in their life. Now, the difference between me is the 7 years I did knocked me back really 14. Okay. So when I got out, I had to basically go for it. I didn't have time to wait. I already sat in the prison cell for 7 years, five different prisons in Tennessee. I was shipped around, right? So you got to think, it's grab and go. So when I came out here, my drive and the way that I do things is a little different, right? Sure. Which I'm not married, but, you know, my girl, whatever. And I got 6 kids, right? My oldest, a teenager, my youngest is going to be one, actually, in a few days. Now, I hear that all the time, right? About, hey, you know, you need to put time for your family. You need time for your family. But this is my thing, right? I do put time for my family, but the way that I do it is a little different for what they can't understand. For example, I got 5 businesses that I run by myself. Check this out. When you're talking about doing my music and doing my filming and doing my podcast, I edit everything. I mix and master everything. And the reason being is not because I don't want other people, because actually, if I had other people that I can hire to do that, that will take away from, I can put that time somewhere else, right? Which could be towards the family and stuff. But I don't have that luxury right now, because my drive is a little different from a lot of people that's out here now, right? So sure, I have to do it all myself, which takes up a lot of my time, plus working, which I'm an independent contractor, but working to make sure all the bills are good. So I don't really have no time per se at the moment. But what I do is, if I'm working 4 months straight, guess what? We'll go to Miami for 10 days. You got all my time, 10 days. We're going on another vacation, 2 months. And we going to LA for 8 days. You see what I'm saying? So you getting all my time, but it's just not like every day. I might have to give you an hour here or an hour there, but then I try to go on vacation to give them all of it. So sure, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, it's not that you're doing anything wrong, obviously, because you're trying to provide a better life for you and for your family. I'm assuming that's why you're doing
exactly
the level in which you're doing it. So you're not doing anything wrong. What I would say is there's probably moments throughout your day where you can connect with your family, even if it's for 2, 5, 10 minutes, where you can be completely undistracted, where you're connecting with them, and that'll feel like an hour to them, right? Whereas you see some parents have 10 minutes with their kids and they're on the phone, they're checking their Instagram, they're on Facebook, they're making a phone call while they're with their kids. True. That's not undivided attention. So even there's days where I'm with my kids for maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes before bed, but I am with my kids for those 20 minutes. A bomb can go off and there's nothing that's breaking my concentration for my kids. Or if I'm on the phone with them, I'm not distracted with 10 other things that are happening. Right? I'm just connecting with them in that moment. So there's going to be different phases of your life. Right now you're in grind mode, right? You're doing a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So nothing you're doing is wrong. I would just look for the opportunities, the small opportunities that you do have, to be fully given that undivided attention so they could feel like it was 30 minutes or an hour that they had your time. Because The only thing they care about is you and your time.
Like, for example, if me and my girl would get it, like, oh, you don't spend no time. Like, well, look, we sit here and watch a movie that's an hour and a half together. You know what I'm saying? And to me, look, you know, that's time. But I think that if a person is not in your industry, they don't understand how your industry works.
Sure.
See, it's a little different, but people got to understand that different industries are different. The grind is there, but it's different. If you're a truck driver and you're trying to do that, you know you're going to be on the road all the time. There's nothing that you can kind of do. Now, if you're trying to own a trucking company and not be on the road, then you got to get those drivers and have people running that, right? So you might not be as gone as much. You get what I'm saying? Now, the point that I'm in is I'm in the entertainment industry. And I think that people that are not, it's hard for people that are not in the industry that I am in to understand how much time that takes. I'm a hip hop artist also. So you got to think, being a hip hop artist, a podcaster, and acting basically in my first film and directing it and writing it, and having to get the actors to do, you know, that's a lot put on, plus providing for your house, right? And it's hard to explain and a person to really see that is not in that industry. Because say you're a hip-hop artist, right? You got to be doing shows. You got to be in the studio. It's good I got my studio here, but still, you know, what if I didn't? You know, then you talk about being a podcaster, which I podcast here. I got podcasts what I do if I go out of town. But, and, you know, I got to do this. And that can be an hour of my time right there. And not putting in a factor that after all that, you got to do the post-production. Mm-hmm. You know, it ain't like I'm doing live podcasts all the time. So what do you think, especially in the entertainment industry?
Yeah, so I would say this, and I totally agree with you. I didn't really understand the entertainment industry until I had a client in the entertainment industry. And right. I mean, those days are long and those nights are long. So I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
What I do, what I also recommend my clients do is look for ways to incorporate your family into it, right? Even if, and again, I don't know all the ages of all the kids, but even if one of your kids had the opportunity to sit in with you on a podcast and they're not, obviously not a one-year-old, that's not going to work out too well, but one that would sit like my four-year-old, right? I was on some podcasts last week. He's 4 years old. He sat there and watched me. And he felt like he was doing it with me. So I always look for opportunities where I can include them as much as possible, given the circumstances. Because for me, I know there's a limited amount of time in which they're going to want to be around me, right? Like when they're 13, 14, 15, I'm not going to be, you know, like everything. They're going to want to go hang out with their friends and their girlfriends.
Right, all my kids are teenagers except my 1 year old and my stepson. He's six, but he wild. So
I always say look for opportunities, and then one of the biggest things is really being with a partner that's supportive of your goals and dreams, right? Especially when you're in these industries like entertainment or sports. Where you're not home all the time. You need someone that's going to be supportive. But then on the flip side of that is you got to be supportive of them.
Okay, right? Okay. Well, this turned into a therapy section. But it don't matter. Yeah. It's with it because we educating the people as we go. Okay, so let me ask you this question right here. Okay, so what you said is they got to be supportive of what you're doing. You got to be supportive. Now, in my situation, I supported the whole time, my girl, you know, she finished college and everything, and I took everything on my back, and I kind of slowed down a little bit just for that to, you know, get over with and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I can't speak from her perspective, but for example, it's kind of like, I do a lot, you know, and it's like, so support it. It's cool if you support it, cool if you don't. But like sometimes you say, well, I want to come to the filming shoot, right? Sure. I want to come to this and stuff. But then if you don't understand the industry, right? And they want, like she told me before, I want to be part of, why can't I be the person that brings the camera gear up or does this. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, make them a part of it.
Yeah.
But I've did that before, right? Not saying, you know, that, you know, she ain't a good woman and all that. I was saying I did that before. And sometimes when you mix that business with pleasure and personal, it doesn't go right. Like sometimes, like, you know, I had to shoot my video before, but she done did good since. I'm just going to take it back a year or two ago. Like,
yeah.
And when I say, hey, you're not doing it right, you know, got frustrated, then it's not business no more. It just became personal. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So if I'm on a film set and, you know, you're my girl, true enough, but I'm like, hey, I need you to go get that light now, bring it, come on, I don't need you to, and like, hold on, you wrestling me? You get what I mean? Then it's like, oh, yeah. But if a person understands that this is business at this time, it has nothing to do with personal, but you are helping and you are involved what I'm doing, then that's good. But it's kind of hard sometimes. I got nothing against ladies at all, but on both ends, you know, male and female, if the woman's in the industry like that, you know, the man have a problem, you know, especially like in my film, they kissed, right?
Sure.
One got a spouse, the other one doesn't. So if they don't understand that, guess what? You got an issue.
Yeah. And those are all conversations that happen beforehand. You got to be on the same page with your partner for sure. And what I mean is this, like, let's say you are working all day, whatever, you're doing your thing and she's supporting you doing your thing. When you come home, even though you might be tired, even though you might be shot, it's giving her those 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes, whatever she needs. Sometimes she might just need to talk. My wife, right? Last night I worked all day and had a business meeting. I didn't walk in my door till 10:30. Now she's with three kids all day, right? So the moment I walk in the door, what does she want to do? Talk.
Oh, yeah, my girl with three kids all day.
And I'm tired. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I gave her the time she needed and created the space that she needed, so she felt heard. And then we go to bed. You know what I'm saying? So it's like they need something. Otherwise, they start to become jealous or they feel like they're not as important.
Oh yeah.
And that could happen. There's two kinds of people, right? There's the spouse, the wife that's going to let you know about it. Right. So, you know, they're not happy. And then there's a spouse that's not going to let you know about it and you're going to create distance. And before you know it, it's too late.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, mine a little bit, I think I'm in between, like, you know, but the thing is like, you know, after, and but see, and the difference is like after going and being an independent contractor, I might be doing some electrical work, I might be doing that. Then I come home, I got to come up here.
Yep.
You get what I mean? So it's like, I really never stopped working. Yeah, I'm working to pay, but now I'm working to do this to try to push this because the goal is to have, you know, Heat Level Entertainment LLC and Heat Level Films and Podcasts and SoDifferentShirts.com. Be exactly what it need to be. You get what I'm saying? In order to do that, you have to put in overtime. I'm like a firm believer. And like what you do is a good thing, right? And it's going to be something I'm going to disagree with you with, right?
Yeah.
You know?
1,000%.
Like in my mind, I feel like because of the time I spent in prison, man.
Sure, you lost
you
time.
Know, it's a little different. You know, I'd see if I was out here, it'd be different, but I'm in overdrive because I was set in a 6x10. You know what I'm saying? Sure. And that's hard for some people to understand who's never been in a cage with no freedom for that long.
Sure.
So it ain't like I don't care. It ain't like I'm not trying to give it time. It's like, hey, I got to get to where I've always tried to get. I'm trying to change things for not just my family, not the way just I'm living, but for the world. I'm trying to give the world art. When I leave this earth, let's be honest about something. I love my kids, right? I love my girl, but at the end of the day, my girl can say, hey, fuck you and go on by the business.
Sure.
My kids can say, guess what? We don't want to be around you no more. But what do I got left is the world, right? And at the end of the day, if I can give to the world, it's not going to matter because I can leave a footprint for somebody. It could be somebody I never met in my life that can follow what I did and be an inspiration when I'm gone.
And so to that point, one of the first conversations I have with any and all of my clients is what do you want? Like what is the goal, right? Is the goal what you're talking about right now to really leave a legacy on the world? Is the goal to do something generationally for your family and wealth? Is your goal to have an amazing connected family life? That's the starting point, right? Yeah. Because we don't try to push anyone in any direction that they don't truly want to be. So one of the first conversations, like, what do you want? Person says what they want. Why do you want that? And then I ask that question, why? Probably like 10 to 15 times on that first phone call, just to figure out what's true to them, what they really want. And then once we have that mapped out, then we go attack that. And everyone's different.
Yeah, because if you really think about it, if you're a person like, yeah, I'm creating generational wealth as I go too, but I want to leave this legacy too, you know, but it's going to create generational wealth, what I'm doing also. But the thing is, you have to have a person that really can understand it, you know, because me personally, if it was a flip side, I would understand because I understand how it goes. And that's a little different. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm a little different. Like, I don't let things eager me. I don't let things bother me. I'm more of a person, let me prevent it before it happens. I look at 5-6 different scenarios before I do something. And to a lot of people, that annoys them when it comes to me. It really does. It's like, okay, I'm gonna do this. Okay, which one would be a better fit? And that's how I operate. And it's hard to do that when a lot of people really, they're used to, quick this, quick that, or this decision doing, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little more simple and plain. I'm gonna go boom, boom, boom. Okay, I'm gonna do this. You might not agree with it, but that's what I'm gonna do.
For me, I'm extremely, the way my mind works is I'm very systems oriented. I'm very analytical.
Yeah.
So I look at a situation, take a step back and go, okay, what are the problems? What are the challenges? What are the solutions? How do we get to success?
Exactly.
So I operate from that perspective. That's why it works so well with what I do.
Okay.
Because I look at all that's on the table. And then again, we figure out what the person wants, why they want it. And then we strategize on how to get it. So I'm very analytical, just like you said yourself is.
All right. So I know I'm asking you stuff. Yeah. Hey, look, some of the stuff you can't answer, whatever. That's cool.
I'm good.
Now, do you have any black couples as your clients? I mean, I'm saying, what is your ratio from couples, brown couples, and white couples?
I actually work with a lot of black couples. It's actually,
I bet you do.
I do. And one of them is a singer songwriter. So that's how I actually learned a little bit about the entertainment game from him.
And so, now, you know, that's what I do. So just think about it.
Yeah.
He's just a singer songwriter.
Yeah.
We just put it that way. We don't even want to know who he is, whatever, but he's a singer songwriter. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, I songwrite and I do all that. Now that's one end. Okay. Sure. To recording, to mastering, to mixing, I do all that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll sing a songwriter to get people to do that for him. You feel me? Now imagine, I got to do all that. Now let's jump to filming.
Sure.
Because I got to do all that. Now let's jump to podcasting.
Yeah.
Now you get what I'm saying now?
Here's what I did. Yeah. I'll tell you what I did. For me, there's certain things. Now, again, you could be an anomaly. There's certain things people love to do. There's other things that they do because they have to. So for me, I try to always stay when I call my pocket. What do I love to do? Right. I love to be on camera. Right.
Yep.
I love to do things like this. And I love to coach and work with my clients.
Yes.
I fucking hate filming, like actual filming.
Yeah.
I hate editing. Okay. I hate writing email copy. I hate doing QuickBooks. So I look for opportunities at all costs to delegate all of it. Now, I'm not stupid. I don't just throw money at every problem, right?
Yeah.
I'm smart about it. I'll tell you, for this new brand of my coaching, right? I said, okay, what do I need to do in this world? I need to create content, a lot of it, very regularly. That's the only way the world works right now, right?
Yeah, content.
And I said, for me to sit down, have to learn video editing to the level at which I needed to be successful, I'm going to be fucking behind a computer for 20 hours a day. I'm not doing it.
Exactly.
So what I did was I gave a portion of my business away to a videographer and a video editor. Now I just show up, I do the speaking, and then they take care of all the other stuff.
That's what I'm talking about.
It cost me, yes, but I'll tell you what, I don't have to think about that anymore. I don't have to think about setting up the lighting. I don't have to think about the sound, the mics. When I'm ready to film, I come, they tape me up, and I'm ready to go, and then I'm done, and they make me look really good.
Yeah, you know what? And that's what I've been explaining, right?
Yep.
I'm like, hey, I'm going to get to that point, which I'm already, you know, I had a second unit director that helped me with my film.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't shoot it all by myself, sure. But at another token, like he posted to edit it, but he had some stuff come up. So at the end, I ended up editing the film, but still, sure. I just connected with another person who said, hey, when I finish my film, send it to him, boom, boom, what I need, he got it.
That's it.
You know, and the price that he's giving me is like unbelievable, right? I'm like, yeah. All right, cool, we can do that. And that's what I'm saying, right? That's what I'm aiming for now. I had to get everything in order, everything to where I needed it to be. You feel what I'm saying? Because
you have to know it.
Yeah.
You have to know it. You have to know what I always tell people, you have to know it so you can manage it. Like if you had no idea about whatever, you'd be like, yeah. I don't even know if they're doing a good job. But now that you know it,
exactly.
Now you're looking for opportunities on how to get it off your plate and onto somebody else's, and then you manage it.
Yeah, because I don't mind. It,
correct.
I don't mind paying. Like you said, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Because me paying, just say, you know, like I even edit my own music videos, but just say we shoot. My second unit director, okay, we shoot the video, right? Once we're done with the video, we say, hey, this is the storyboard, this is how we want the video to go. Here, if I got to pay them $500-$600 or whatever, I get people for about $250, whatever, and get them to edit it, guess what? That time that I paid him, I'm cool with that.
Correct.
Because that's going to save me, like you said, you know, for a 3-minute music video, you're talking about 5 hours, you know, because you got to understand it's not something that I master, but you got people that master that I throw the video to them. They had that thing done in an hour and a half and have it back to me at night. You know what I'm 100%. Saying?
Yeah. So that's the key, right? Yeah. Using people, building a team that you trust, leveraging time.
So let me ask you this question right here.
Yeah.
When it comes, like I said, you ain't gotta, you know, but I'm gonna ask you anyway. Now, race in this country, right? And you talk about race, right? And you talk about marriage, all right? Now, if you look at the stats when you talk about, I hate the word minorities because I don't like using that. It's like,
sure.
You know, I always talk about the big three, not trying to leave anybody else, but you know, in this country, it's always black, brown, and white, all right? We know, yeah. We know we got Asian. We know we got other I can't say the word.
I got
but
you.
Other yeah of people, right? So we know that, but I'm just want to focus on when it comes to black, brown, and white people, right?
Yeah.
Now we know when it comes to marriage, the percentage of divorces are like 80% or whatever it is,
sure.
And most of it, as you say, you are a personal development for married businessman, and this is crazy because you say that, and this is real talk. Most of the marriages are divorces are because of financial reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. That's number one. So it's crazy. You take away the cheating. You take away that, and you say most people get married. And they have problems and they divorce because of financial reasons. Now, for you being a man and saying, hey, I'm going to be a person to try to bridge that gap so men that are very busy and all that, they can be there for their kids and their spouse. But then let's say that that's the case. And this woman said, this is what she need. Her husband said, okay, I'm going to give you this. But in order for me to give you this, I got to let this go. Right? And it's like, okay, cool. They just say a hard time comes, something like the pandemic or anything else like that. And next thing you know, the stuff that she was used to getting, to the trip she was used to going on, that is like not there anymore. Now it becomes a point, well, I missed this, I missed that. And then you know she just met another guy who's worth $20 million or whatever. And then it's like, fuck you, I'm done. But that's, I'm saying, financial is the number one thing of divorce. So tell me, how do you work with that?
All right, so first things first. People say, like, you know, you see these things on Instagram and Facebook, like the two most important days of your life, the day you were born and the day you found out why. I don't believe that. No. I believe the probably the most important day of your entire life is the day you pick your partner. Okay. Because if a woman is looking and willing to leave you when times get tough for someone else, that's going to make it easy, right, in the short term, that's not a good partner, right? I wouldn't even be coaching on someone how to save that, right? If that's the case. But getting back to the financial part, I believe it's a man's obligation to provide for his family. I really do.
Yeah.
I think they need to do it at a high level.
Yes.
And I think sometimes as men, we need to sacrifice our comfort zone for providing for our family. But we need to do it in an efficient way. We need to do it with the hunger that you have so we can give our families more. And then always be looking for opportunities to connect with them. So, and I think they're there if you're looking for it, right? If you're just sitting there being like, I gotta work, you're not gonna see the opportunities that present themselves to be with your family. But I think if you're focused on it, if you're conscious about it, then opportunities will pop up, and you'll figure out how to be able to, you know, shed that responsibility over here for $100 or get someone to partner with you to do this. So then you can spend the extra time with your family. So I think that's vitally important.
So, but what about the people that they do get a spouse, they do pick a partner, and, you know, you don't really learn a person. You know, they say when you meet a person, you really never know a person fully, right? You always hear people say, oh, I never thought that would happen. Never thought they would do that. I never thought, you know, because at the end of the fucking day, you got people that can hide themselves very well. They, you know,
sure.
You got people that can blend in very well. And these people have been doing it for life. So you meet your partner and you're like, okay, this is the one. This got to be the one. And you talking 15 years later down the line, 4 kids later down the line. Sure. Now this motherfucker is showing colors you never seen before. You get what I'm saying? And sometimes they show it in 6 months.
Yeah.
Sometimes they show it in 6 years. And sometimes they don't show it to 20 years later. You get what I mean?
There's always those people that are like, you know, they're like spies, right? Like they're just like infiltrated into your life. I mean, I get that. You're not going to be able to source out everything or every problem, but I think dating is really important, man. I think asking questions is really important. I think getting beyond the way someone looks is really important, right? Men, we're savages, right? I mean, let's just be honest, right? Like, I don't know any guy that started dating a girl simply because she was nice.
No, like, I've never met one.
No. You see the girl, you're like, wow, I want that.
Yeah, exactly.
But we need to get beyond that, right, at some point and see the person for who they are. You got to ask questions. You got to look for signs. You got to look for things that are happening besides the way they look. And you got to really see what's there, because otherwise you are putting yourself in jeopardy down the road when things do get hard. And the reason why divorces are so high right now is because everyone wants instant satisfaction and no one's willing to put in the work to make anything work. Therefore, they bail when things get hard. And that's a problem.
Yeah. And they won't. And it's like, oh, you ain't got the money. I'm gone. What? Correct. Hold on now.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that's happening. Like, I hate to say, during the pandemic, they're not talking about it now, but a lot of divorces are happening.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
And it's kind of messed up, man, because it could be this person had the business, that thing going, pandemic in them. And they were like, well, look, let me go to, you know, and it's just messed up, man. Yep. Especially if you got kids involved, you know, it's like, oh, nobody thinks about that. Everybody thinking about their own well-being. You know what I'm saying?
Because most people are fully selfish.
Yeah. Oh, and then, okay. Now, I have my girl tell me sometimes, you know, and I'd be like, you know, some people don't understand the difference between selfish and driven. I don't think some people don't know how to, because and they mad. They like, oh, you doing your podcast for you. You doing your filming for you. You doing your music for you. And you like, if I'm just doing it for me, I just do it and sit there and watch it.
Yeah, you know? So no one, this is real. No one knows what your motives are other than you.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, if you could look yourself in the mirror and you know why you're doing it, then fuck it. That's it.
Yeah.
As long as you know.
And you're going to lose people along the way.
I don't care. But I am okay with I became very okay with not giving a fuck about what other people think about me as long as I know what my truth is.
Thank you.
That's it. It's very, very simple. Some people look at me and they're like, he's never satisfied. He always wants more. He always wants bigger.
Oh my God, dude.
I don't care. And I don't wish any ill will. I genuinely do not care what they think because I know in my heart exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing.
You know what? What you just said, and that's what I think is like, people come and they say in my house, like, oh, you got a 4-bedroom. You got the studio. I'm like, this is, I want more, you know? And people are like, wow, you're just not there. Why you want to be this? Because this is, you don't understand the end game. And if I try to explain the end game to you, you're still not going to understand the end game. So everything that I'm doing has a way bigger end game than just me. And I think, and I just want to put some people out there, musicians, by the way, or people that are still alive. You talk about people like Clint Eastwood, right? You talk about people like Denzel Washington, that they're giving their bodies, their time to their art to be able to give to a world. So when they leave here, they're still resurrected through their films. You know, talk of people like Tupac, or you talk about Michael Jackson or Prince, or, you know, even Kurt Cobain, all them people, you know, they did all this. And people say, well, you sacrificed so much for these people, but guess what? You sacrificed so much for the world. Cause guess what? Even though some of them people that are gone and some of the people that are still here with us, but the ones that are gone, guess what? We can go to YouTube or we can go and still hear these same people. And now they family like, oh, now I get it. Well, now you get it when they gone. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. I've never gave a fuck what nobody said about me, right? I've always been that person. Sometimes me and my girl, you know, we have a little arguments and stuff like that because I don't be giving a fuck, you know, and don't mean that I don't love you. I don't care. It's just, I'm not finna waste my time. You know, if you having a little fit, hey, you look fit, whatever, I'm gonna do this. And then when you're done, we'll talk about it. You know what I'm saying? And some people mind is like, oh, you don't care. No, it ain't no care. And you know, some people like, you know, are you gonna cater? No, look, get that out the way, then get back to normalization, and then we good to go. And I do that with everybody, even my friends, like they already know. Don't call me if it's about some drama. I don't care. You know, because if I'm a positive person and I'm pushing this way, like, and I got some homies that are married and stuff like that. And, you know, you going through your issues, brother, nothing wrong with that. But every time you rang my line or something, I don't want to hear about it. I don't really care. Not saying I don't care about you or your situation, is that I don't have time for the negativity, not time for drama. If you calling me for some advice, we can do that. But just to vent, I don't need 60 people venting.
It's important. You know? It's really important. You have the people that depend on you, the people that you really love, right? That's like your closest group. Anyone outside of that, you have to, I tell people you have to audit relationships. You have to look and see where you are in your life right now and where you're going. And are these people going to help you on your journey, or are they going to hurt you? Not that they're bad people, but if they're not helping you on this journey, you don't have to cut them off, but you can distance yourself from them because you have to protect your environment and be around like-minded people. Instead of being around people going, man, all you care about is more. If you're around people that are like, hey, let's go get this. We can do this. We can make this happen. Then you're putting yourself in the environment that's going to help you succeed. And that's super important.
And I think that goes both ways. Like, when it comes to family, friends, and your spouse. And to be honest, and I think that sometimes you have to know your balance too. I think that most people are in a comfort zone when it comes to their family. So whatever their family don't accept, they don't do. whatever their family and their parents on that, they don't do. And they don't understand that they had their life, you have your life, right? And you got to live your life the way you want to live your life and how you feel to live your life. And I always tell people say, oh, self-esteem. You know, in the famous words of my guy, Cat Williams, self-esteem, it's an esteem of your motherfucking self. You feel me? The words of Cat Williams, you know. Why are you letting anybody bring down your self-esteem? It's you. So when I look in the mirror, I am proud. I don't give a fuck. People call me ex-con. I used to be a drug dealer, you know, gun toter, gun slinger, gang affiliated, whatever. Guess what? I don't give a fuck. To this day, it's still people that still thinking I'm doing illegal stuff because of the stuff that I'm acquiring. And it's all legit. I don't give a fuck, right? I don't even try to entertain it, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I got to tell people that know me, they say, hey, man, you know what Kyle said? Dude? I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Y'all really don't get it, you know?
I always tell people, if someone doesn't pay your bills, they can't say anything.
They can't say shit. Seriously. Exactly.
Because I work with a lot of people that are, you know, when they're growing their business, they're apprehensive about doing things. They're apprehensive about going on social media. They're apprehensive about their family finding out what they're doing. They're apprehensive. I'm like, listen, who pays your bills? They're like, I do. I'm like, then that's the only voice that needs to matter. That's it.
And it's and at the end of the day, I think most people, like you say, most people are so comfortable.
Yes.
And I'd rather be uncomfortable because, like, you know, in the words of Denzel, I quote Denzel, like Denzel.
He's my man.
Yeah, that's my guy, man, you know. And you'll fall down 7, get up 8. You know what I'm saying? Fall forward, not backwards. Forward. You, know, you get what I'm saying?
I listen to that video every day with my son, who's 4.
I know, because growing up is always have something to fall back on. You know, why would I want to fall back? I want to see what I'm hitting, you know? And look, I tell you, I watch that a lot too. I watch that thing
every day.
Every day. Because it gets me, it lets me think if a person that is very successful and can still be humble at the age that he is, he had some good people that helped him along the way. You know what I'm saying? You know, even when he's talking about Sidney Poitier told him, he said, don't do a film that is not morally for you. He said, because when you do that, they're going to hold you to a standard and you won't be able to do it. So he turned down a lot of films. You feel me? And that's the way I am. I'm the type of person who say, well, just to say a little bit about this is I had a person come to me and say, oh, I'll be in your next film when you're going to get a gangster film. I can't wait. I want to be the drug dealer with the gun. And I told her, I ain't writing no gangster film. And they looked at me like, but you from the streets. This is what you live. I'm not trying to be in that box. You know, this is my first film that I'm putting out. And guess what? It's a comedy drama. You know what I'm saying? The next one I'm starting shooting in October is a horror film. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to put myself. So you see this cat straight from the streets. You feel me? You like this cat writing horror. If I still had my dreads, it really would have been sometimes, you know, what he's writing horror film. Well, name a horror film right in Hollywood and straight from the streets. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Being the prison, you feel me? 7 years, you know, stickings and stuff, you know, like, you know, you don't get that, but I'm just saying like, it's all about being different. Like married couples, look, I'm be honest with you, I'm not into marriage. You know what I mean? You know, look, I'm a Muslim though, right? And you know, we're supposed to get married and stuff like that, and we're supposed to marry a woman that also a Muslim too. Different is you know, we're supposed to convert the woman into a Muslim and all that. Sure. But without all that be said, marriage has always been a hard thing for me because, you know, I always looked at it as a economic contract. Economical contract, basically, you know, kind of what it is. If you do the history on it, why people start getting married in U.S. But I want to bring back how marriage really was. It wasn't really about signing this paper or doing this right here. You know, people got together, and when they got married, it was like souls together. And it's like that time has passed, especially in the U.S., you know what I'm saying? Because you got countries in Africa and other countries that is different. You know, when they're married, they're married, and you know, they, some people jump broom, some people do that. But I've always been a thing about it, because if you just look around and you see how marriage goes. It's like most of the divorces are just nasty. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't about, oh, it's good for the kids, or how are we going to try to co-parent? It's all about, I want that. You want this. I want to get that money.
Yeah.
It breaks down to money. So my thing is, it ain't about, oh, we're just not. Because if you in a relationship with somebody for 25 years, look, people grow apart, man. You know,
sure.
And that's just the way life is. People say, okay, we're going to try to stay together. You know, marriage, relationship, you know, it's work, because you have to try to work everything out that you're going through and stay there with your partner. But let's be honest, right? Some people stay together for 70 years, 65
sure,
years, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, some people stay together for 30 years and they just grow apart. And sometimes people try to explain it. Sometimes people just grow apart. And if you grow apart and you say, look, we ain't in this no more. We ain't in this no more. And y'all go, it ain't about, oh, let me get this, let me get that. Y'all can write down, okay, this is what this is. It ain't got to worry about that. That's beautiful, because people like that end up staying friends for the rest of their lives. You get what I mean? Even though they didn't work out. And like my first baby mama, like I said, we never got married. We had four kids together. And, you know, she dates a woman now, you know, shout out to what she do. But she's about to get married, whatever. But I look at the situation by me up. When it was over, we was like, yeah, it's over. You know what I mean? We didn't hit each other in the face and we didn't do all that. You know, we had four kids together and stuff like that, which they all teenagers now. But you get what I'm saying? And, sure. You know, we went out our different ways. Her life is totally different from mine. Mm-hmm. And when I look at her, I don't even see the same person. I probably, when she look at me, she probably do see the same person. You know, I don't know. But marriage is like one of them things. But I'm glad that it's a person like you that's out there that's helping people that are in situations like mine, where we're grinding, we're getting it for our family and the world, and we getting taught times where we need to kind of sit down, take that 10, 15, 20, or 30 minutes. If you, like you said, even if you take 10 minutes, it's like an hour with them, and take that time for our family. You know,
I want to mention one thing you started to say before. It was about racism in this country.
Yeah.
So I think this is super important. My sister's married to a black guy. My son, who's 4 years old, his best friend is a little black girl, right?
Yeah.
I truly believe in this country, the racial divide can be solved in the home with kids.
You're absolutely right.
Because here's the deal. My son, who's four, my son, other son, who's two, they don't see people's skin color as a dividing barrier. They don't. They just love people. That's it, right? Like when people are in and out of my office, like high fives to everybody, man. They're giving everyone hugs. Like there's this one guy, you know, I'm cool with. His name is Laurent. He's a black dude, tall black dude, right?
Yeah.
My son calls him. My son calls him Uncle L.
Yeah. Right?
Because he a skin tone is not a racial divide. Kids get taught that.
Yeah.
In the home or outside of the home. And I think it's the parents' job to fix that. I think it's the parents' job to teach them that that doesn't matter. And that's not someone's character. That's just the color of their skin. So I believe if parents are doing a good job, if parents are doing a good job raising children, that's how we turn this whole thing around.
And then we got to make sure that we keep them over at social media sometimes. That social media is something else.
That's because that's created to divide them.
Yeah. But like, you know, just like you said about the racial divide, it's like the media pushes an agenda.
Yes.
You know what 100%. I mean? And when they push an agenda and they say, well, this is what we're going to do, we got to let our kids, even if our kids consume it, we got to sit down and be like, look, well, I do this with my stepdaughter. Okay. My girl's white. You know, my kids are all mixed, right? Sure. But I'm just saying, like, my girl, my stepdaughter, she's white, right? And she come and be saying, well, kids at school say I'm not wearing Forces, I'm wearing regular Nikes. And I'll be telling her, I'll be like, and when she sees stuff on social media, I'm like, look, you need to know that's garbage. You know, that ain't what that is, okay? And you got to let them know so they can see what's the difference. So when they do see stuff like that, they're like, okay, let me go talk to my dad about this.
Exactly.
Or let me, you know what I'm saying? Because most kids are going to come and talk to you.
Yeah.
When something, you know, we was at a water park and my son, you know, he's mixed and my girl's white. And this little white girl came up and was like, oh, well, she was pushing him and my girl was just watching her. And then when she came up, the little white girl walked away. She came back and said, why is he brown and you're white? And then she was like, oh, his dad's black. She was like, oh, okay. And that was it. Like she got an explanation and yes. She came back and all that and stuff.
Yep.
She didn't really cared about do I not like him? You feel me?
No, they're curious. Exactly. Right? They're curious. Yep. Like kids are supposed to ask questions.
Questions, yes.
And if we take the time, even if we're busy, if we take a few minutes to handle those things in the home, we don't have to worry about a problem where people hate each other because of the color of their skin.
You're right.
Or their gender. It's like that stuff gets to me, man.
Yeah, I know. Hey, touch up. Look, me, hey, I've been stereotyped. I've been
sure
brutality. Look, I came to court one time with my eye closed because the police would buy
it. Yeah, and you know? I just feel like we could start to move away from that.
Yeah.
If we just handle our business in the home.
And the difference is, you know, you're talking to a guy, and like when I hear people talk about situations, a lot of them have never been in it. You talk to a guy that's been shot in the head, stabbed, beat up by police, prison, 6 years in juvenile, been in mental institutions from 4 years old up to I was 25. So, you know, I've been there and I've done it, and I'm straight from the project, the streets, the hood. I'm there. So I can speak about these situations and know exactly because I saw them, I was that guy and I was in it. So it makes it a little different. Man, so guess what? We've got to get to our last two segments of this podcast, man. The first podcast is called, the first segment is called Under the Bus. Basically, I'm going to give you two names or two situations or two people. And you got to tell me which one you're going to throw up under the bus and which one you're going to keep.
Okay.
All right. Okay, let's do it, baby. Let's do it. All right, here we go. So we're going to do the... Since we on a presidential thing right now and people are talking about what Biden, Harris, and all them doing, and you better keep it real with me. If you don't keep it real with me, I will have to, you already know. So let's do it. All right, now, out of presidents, we got two. And which ones would you keep? And which one would you throw under the bus? Number one, we have Donald Trump. Bam. All right, number two, we have George H.W. Bush. So which one of those presidents you would keep, which one you would throw up under the bus, brother?
All right, here's the deal. I'm not a political person. I've actually never voted in my life.
Yeah, me either.
Because I don't like politicians.
Okay.
I'm a very, like, if I tell you something, it's my word. Like, it's truth.
Okay.
So for me, I'm making this decision purely on who's less political.
Yep.
So I would say I'm going to keep Trump.
Yep.
And I'm going to throw Bush just because Bush holds the long line lineage of a classic politician. That's it.
Okay. Hey, so everybody let you know. So Trump was picked by Mr. Ryan Braves and George H.W. Bush was thrown under the bus. And he just explained to you why. He not saying he support Trump. Everything he doing, he's not saying he don't support what George H.W. Bush did. He's telling you he don't like politicians. He like people that's going to tell you like it is. And Trump did tell you like it is. Grab him by the pussy. He did say that. And that's the way that he said it. And he was what he was. He's out of there. But hey, one thing about the guy, you can hate him, you can love him, but he said what the hell he wanted to, and he did what the hell he wanted to, and he didn't care about if he cared or not. That's what it was.
That's it.
All right. And so if you're a businessman, which he was a businessman, you understand why he was the way he was. All right. Okay. So this is the last segment of the podcast. It's called Brutally Honest. Basically, I ask you a question. You got to be brutally honest. If you're not honestly, I will roast your ass. That means I will roast your face and your forehead and everything about you because I am a comedian also. And you cannot outdo me, a comedian.
I won't even try.
All right. So this is the question, man. Have you ever in your life, have you ever had sex with a married woman?
I have not.
And guess what? You're lying.
No.
I'm going to tell you why you're lying.
My wife.
Yeah, your wife. You have had sex with a married woman. You're lying to me, sir. You're lying to me, sir. But yeah, I got you. That one did it. That was a trick question, brother.
That was a trick question.
Yes, it was. So, hey, before you go, tell everybody where they can be able to get access to your services and where they can look you up on social media and all that.
Cool. I appreciate it, man. This has been a lot of fun today. So two easy ways to get in touch with me. The first is my website, myascensionbydesign.com.
Spell that for the people.
It's M-Y, the word ascension, A-S-C-E-N-S-I-O-N, bydesign.com. And then on Facebook, I just started this recently, a private Facebook group called Ascension of the Entrepreneur, where I'm literally in that Facebook group and I'm answering questions, challenges, struggles. We're sharing wins. It's guys that are looking to do big things in business and with their family, and we're there for the community. So that's a very easy way to get in touch with me, and you'll get my feedback right there in the group.
Okay, that's what's up. So everybody, y'all got that? I hope y'all do. Well, here you go. Let me give y'all my drops. Here you go. Now, if y'all want to listen to my music, y'all already know y'all can go to Ykeem on Spotify, Apple Music, or whatever. That's Y-Q-E-E-M. That's Y-Q. Eric, Mimi, Mama, Boom Boom. If y'all want to watch the videos on YouTube, you go Ykeem TV. That's Y-Q-E-E-M TV. That's Y-Q. Eric, Mimi, Mama, Boom Boom TV. And if y'all listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, wherever, y'all can go to heatlevelpodcast.com and y'all can get the audio. And if y'all want to see the visuals, if y'all want to see me and this two handsome guys talking, y'all can always go to YouTube and type in Heat Level Podcast. Or just put youtube.com/heatlevelpodcast. And I'm not going to tell you how to spell Heat Level Podcast because that means you ain't listening. Fuck that. I'm not telling you. There you go. You better learn how to spell that shit. Hey, Mr. Ryan Braze, give the people something inspirational before we get up out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say whatever you're doing in life, whether it's in your marriage, in your business, with your family, just don't quit, because you never actually fail unless you stop trying to do what it is you're trying to do. That's it. Just don't quit.
Hey, man, like they say, man, you miss 100% of the shots you do not take. And that is my inspiration for y'all. So y'all already know, if y'all listen to my podcast, y'all know how I always say, I'm about this beat.
Every time I hear that ride, every time I hear this beat, every time I in the spot, every time I'm on that street, they listening to me. Every time they in, they ride.